This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Bit of Chubby Checker there for you. You know all those different dances in the 60s that they came up with? I'm just thinking out loud now. Ed, maybe you can help me. Do people go out and dance? Do the kids go out like teenagers? Is there any dancing that they do anymore? Like, do you know anything? Because you used to do DJ stuff.
Well, there was a well-known one called the Electric Slide. And then you had some other dances, which is kind of the same variation of that. But yeah, there is... It's kind of a cross between a Western kind of dance, two-step, whatever there's, and the Electric Slide, and then you've got, I don't know, there's just three or four other songs out there, but they're pretty close to the same.
So, is it as popular today, dancing with kids, like 18-year-olds, 17-year-olds? I don't think so. I think days are kind of gone. It's kind of sad. I mean, the COVID would have canceled it, but I mean, forgetting that.
Well, I mean, we still got... You know, the dances from the 40s and 50s that you did, and then...
Oh, you're such
a... And then the 80s and 90s that I did, you know?
You are such a cheap shot artist, I can't... What we did do in the 60s when I was a kid is we did do a lot of different dances like Chubby Checker was singing about. I don't think there's as many of those. Anyway, good morning. Away from the dancing, we're going to be dancing on Sunday around here. And we will talk a little bit about the Super Bowl, and we'll talk with Ed about... And we're going to get Ed's pick. And then you can go and, you know, go liquid on whatever his pick is later on. Anyway, this is the Paul Molloy Show, I think. Freedom Works. I think I'm Paul Molloy. And along with Big Ed, we thank you for joining us. It's Friday, February the 5th. And I guess we can call it Super Bowl Friday. I know Ed's getting sick of talking about the Super Bowl. But we'll rev him up a little bit later on. In a few minutes, Will Reinhart will join us. He is with the Center for Growth and Opportunity. And we're going to talk about this thing called Birdwatch. Ed, you've not heard of it. I could tell when I was telling you about this that you looked kind of puzzled. It's a new feature of Twitter. And it allows the readers to add what's called context. Context to certain Twitter postings. Now, is that a good idea, or is it, in a way, a form of censorship? We're going to talk with Will Reinhart about it. And the House votes to remove Republican Congressman Marjorie Taylor Greene from her committee assignments, largely along partisan lines. We will talk about that, among other topics, with the proprietor of the Barber Poll himself, Andrew Ceraci, a little later in the show. And we're going to tell you the results of a simulation game that predicts the winner of the Super Bowl. We're going to tell you what team it predicts will win. We'll even tell you how the game will end. And we'll give you the details on the quarterbacks. And then you can go to Las Vegas and bet on that as well. And then in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 states hosting the most Super Bowl games. That'll be an interesting one, right? By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Call first, 733-3773. Again, 727-733-3773. And don't forget, good morning, Clearwater. Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Start your day with Paul and Tracy Allen. You'll get the latest in news, entertainment, sports. They'll make you laugh. They'll make you cry. They'll make you incontinent sometimes, but they're very interesting. Good Morning Clearwater. All right, lots of things going on, of course. And yesterday, the Votorama in the Senate started in the early afternoon, concluded shortly this morning before 6 a.m., a marathon process in which Republicans forced Democrats to take votes on tough issues, more than 15 hours of doing it, standalone issues. The Senate adopted a budget resolution for coronavirus relief. You know what the vote was? 51 to 50 in the Senate. And you know what that means? It means that the Democrats and the Republicans each voted along party lines, and it went 50-50. And the Vice President, Kamala Harris, cast the tie-breaking vote. The tie-breaking vote. It's not the final bill, but it allows the Senate to proceed toward a final bill under what's called the budget reconciliation rule, which would let the Dems pass a coronavirus stimulus plan by going around any Republican filibuster as long as their caucus remains united. So it gets a little bit in the weeds, but it means that they're probably going to be able to do what they please with this trick, as long as all of them stay and vote the same way, right? They got to all vote for the Democratic bill or vote as a unit and then allow the vice president to stand there and vote to break any tie. So here we go. And I was watching Newt Gingrich this morning on one of the talk shows, and he said what they're doing right now is a guarantee that the Republicans will capture both the Senate and the House 2 years from now and oust Nancy Pelosi as the House Majority Leader. He really thinks that this is going to play into Republican hands, because if the Democrats continue to pass legislation without Republican content, without Republican involvement, it's going to, in his opinion, it's going to really turn America against the Democrats. We will see if that is the case. But it starts out with kind of what's going to go on with all these other bills. And later today, the House is expected to move on to what they call the concurrent budget resolution. Well, now they can just, if the Democrats hang together, they can pass it. It'll be kind of a, it's going to be a long, for Republicans, it's going to be a long 2 years. That's for sure. All right. Let us take our break. When we come back, have you heard about this thing called Birdwatch? Well, we're going to talk with Will Reinhart of the Center for Growth and Opportunity about it. It's a new feature of Twitter. Is it harmful? Does it censor people? We'll talk to him and find out.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
we're back on Super Bowl Friday. I'm getting excited. I think the game starts around 6:30 Eastern time. I think there's going to be some fans in the stadium. I don't remember how many. Maybe 18,000 or so.
Actually, it'll be 25,000.
Whoa!
And get this.
Okay.
40,000 cutouts.
Oh, man, those cutouts are so damn lucky they get to sit there with all those fans.
And they drink a lot of beer, too, those cutouts.
Hey, that's speaking of that, will they have people selling beer?
Yeah, it'll be all normal concessions.
You were talking about tailgating. Are they not tailgating?
No tailgating, no.
Okay.
Ray J has been upgraded with hand sanitizers every 15 feet.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, they're all over the place.
Wow. Wow. Is the weather supposed to be good, Ed?
The rain will probably end just before kick. Probably about 3 o'clock, I would say.
What's
the rain? And kickoff's at 6:30.
Temperature?
Low 60s.
Oh, you know what? That's good football weather, low 60s. I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've been in the 50s here for the last couple of days.
Yeah.
Brady's been running around in shorts. Felt at home.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Well, we're delighted to have back Will Reinhardt. He is a senior research fellow at the Center for Growth and Opportunity, where he specializes in telecom, the internet, data policy. And he is here to talk about this thing called Birdwatch. Now, this is a new feature that Twitter has introduced. I think it was launched this week. It's meant to provide context. Oh, I love that word. Provide context to tweets. Also to combat misinformation and disinformation. I'm not sure what the difference is between those two things. By tapping other users in a way similar to Wikipedia to flag potentially misleading tweets. Well, this is very, very interesting. But I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure that it's a good thing. It kind of scares me a little bit. Who's going to decide what's misinformation and disinformation? You know, and I wonder how it will work.
Yeah, so the way that it's currently designed is really to effectively have this group of people, right, this small group of people. It's about 1,000 people right now, and eventually it's supposed to expand to about 100,000. But this small group of people have effectively the power to at least add some context to potentially viral tweets. And so by keeping it pretty narrow within the people that they allow within this space, and they're kicking off people and adding them as well, that is at least it's hoped by Twitter to add some context and to at least kind of be able to give context to tweets that potentially would be misleading. But as you suggested, you know, there's a lot of context and nuance to any of these tweets. So I'm a little bit skeptical of the project in general.
I think you should be. I think you should be a lot skeptical. This is a limit of free speech. That's what I would suggest. You can have a group of people, like a jury, sitting in on somebody's comments and then kind of digesting them and then putting them under a microscope. And then what are they going to do? You know, are they going to stop the tweet? Add their context and then allow the tweet to go public?
So the tweet itself can go public, and then later you can add context. And the major idea, or at least the driving factor behind all of this, is that there was actually a set of experiments that was run, I believe it was last year, and effectively it was found that when there is this kind of quick response by individuals within a community, that in fact misinformation does decrease, that false information about things actually is kind of trampled down. It really, they're trying to solve the problem of fact-checking, which is really endemic and has some very, very serious downsides, particularly because the response of a fact-checking doesn't get the kind of extensive reach that the original set of, you know, tweets or information or the blog post or whatever it may be gets. So it seems like Twitter's trying to do something to solve what they see as an endemic problem of misinformation, and they're at least trying to experiment to figure it out.
Yeah,
and,
but
you know, I'm skeptical. But I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. No, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I am. I think this is actually a censorship of speech. I really do. I don't like it. Now, if you allow somebody to say something and there are things in there that are factually untrue, would it not be better to allow another Twitter user to come on and say, Joe Blow just said such and such, but the truth is, and then allow that person to say it? I just don't. Here, let me give you if I might, I was going to save this for later, but I'm going to ask you to bear with me on this one. You know that website, mm-hmm. you know the website Snopes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be a fact-checking website, correct? In fact, I've used them.
Yeah.
I've used them quite a few times. Well, let me tell you what they said about a comment by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She claimed to be in the Capitol when the riot occurred. The truth was she was not. She was in an annex building, but she was not in the Capitol building itself. She offered at the time an emotional account of what she said she was going through when these rioters were running around in the Capitol itself. And she repeatedly said that she thought she was going to die after hearing banging outside her door. One of the congresswomen that's a Republican that has an office right next to her completely debunked that and said there was nobody out there in their annex building. So what did Snopes do? Snopes made a post on the claim, quote, that Cortez exaggerated the danger she was in. You know what they rated the claim? Mostly false. Mostly false. Okay. It was mostly true. It was almost entirely true. The only thing that was that she could use as a lifeline was that there was a tunnel. You could tunnel from the annex to the Capitol building itself. But
there's a series of tunnels that goes.
All right, so yeah. Snopes is you know, if somebody in that little jury panel, you know, took that particular comment and said it was mostly true when it clearly didn't seem to be. So this is what I'm talking about when people are monitoring other people's comments and conversation. Your thought on that?
Yeah, I mean, to go back to what you were saying a little bit earlier about this idea of censorship, I mean, I personally am a little hesitant to use it in this context, primarily because, you know, when I think of censorship, I think of things being taken down. And that's not what Twitter is doing, at least in this context, right? That they're not.
But they're infiltrating a comment. They're infiltrating a comment. That's a censorship,
yeah, so
in my opinion.
You know, they're doing contextual additions. I don't know. I mean, maybe there's a different word we need for this, right? But it seems to me that at least with what's going on with Twitter, it's just a little bit slightly different than say taking down content or limiting speech of an individual or deplatforming someone, right?
Mm-hmm. But you see the slippery slope, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, these are...
This is the thought police. They're entering your own comment. I mean, while you talk, they're entering your comment to provide what is called context. That word context can take you right down a cliff, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, and it's tough, right? It's tough to understand all the multiplicities of the different contexts. So somebody could say something, but say it jokingly, right? They could falsely say something, but say it jokingly. And because that context, just you don't have it around that sort of tweet, you know, it may be misinterpreted as misinformation as well. And so that's also the other sort of problem that I see consistently online. You know, you could say something kind of sarcastically, and when you do it like that, then you also are technically spreading misinformation.
True.
But that shouldn't be taken down in other sorts of contexts. There's a lot of complexity here, and I would want to see every single instance, really, to see how well this thing is going. And in that regard, I hope that they do a good job of allowing researchers to have access to this sort of information, which I've seen some suggestions that Twitter is doing much more of this and allowing more researchers access to this sort of information such that they can actually figure out if this is doing, you know, harm or not.
We're talking with Will Reinhart, Senior Research Fellow at the Center for Growth and Opportunity. And we're talking about Twitter's new pilot feature called Birdwatch. Will, who's going to be on the jury? How are they selected?
Yeah, so the process that Twitter has that they're selecting these individuals, it's not exactly clear, but they're trying to get, from my understanding, you know, context or at least individuals from around the world. They're also trying to get a diversity of voices, and so that also is something that I think that we're going to have to wait for a little while. I believe, if I recall correctly, they said that they're going to be releasing kind of general demographic information quite quickly. So there is, you know, there's a lot of kind of uncertainty with this project. And you're exactly right. What's the kind of diversity that we're talking about? Is it ideological as well as, you know, demographic? And I think that's going to be key as well. And geographic. It should be geographic as well.
I'm telling you, this is a Big Brother thing. It's not going to work. You're cutting into somebody's free speech thoughts on Twitter. Now, they may say something that's not true. But I would rather have their Twitter comment come out, and then if it's not true, I can guarantee you, with the thousands or many hundreds of thousands or whatever that read it, somebody's going to write something that says that's not true and explain what they think. You know, that's to me a much more efficient way of dealing with something like this. But when you go, you know, it's like climate change. Can you imagine if somebody makes a comment about the climate and what's going on in the climate, is this jury group going to fly in on that one? Can you imagine with all of the different, you know, well, this scientist says this. No, this scientist says, I mean, where is that going?
I mean, I think what they're trying to do is as you suggested, is this kind of counter speech question or this counter speech idea, right? That if somebody makes a statement, that you have a whole bunch of additional statements that could potentially, you know, conflict with it, contradict it, kind of push back on whatever that sort of statement is. And I guess the big question is whether or not this experiment's really going to work particularly well, because what they're trying to do is trying to compress all of that into a context for this singular tweet, right? They're trying to add all of that sort of context at the very, very top end. And I think it's going to be really uncertain right now if that sort of experiment is really going to work.
Yeah. If we step back and take a look, though, we are in an era right now of censorship. Now, look what happened to this Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's that Republican congresswoman. She's been stripped of her committee assignments for some things that she said online some years back. She now has, she's rebuked what she had said, pretty much. But they're going to strip her of her assignments. You can go back and find many of these congresspeople that have said similar kinds of nonsensical things. Why not strip them? Right? I mean, this is where we're going with, we're now taking things that have been said years ago, and we're trying to actually censor people, censor what they have to say, basically, censor what they have to think. When they espouse what they think, we're censoring it now. And I think we're going down a very dangerous, I mean, Twitter, prior to this, has been cutting people off because of their viewpoints, to be honest with you. They claim it's because whoever is saying such and such is saying something wrong. Well, of course, didn't they cut off Trump completely and permanently ban him or whatever? So here we go. I don't think we're going to a good place with this.
Yeah, and then the question would be, what would be the better solution to all this, right? Is there, and because then the other way to try to go down this, or at least to try to quote unquote solve this problem, is, you know, also not particularly great, right? That the government getting involved also would be a clear First Amendment violation.
I agree with you. Absolutely right.
These things are constantly in tension. I'm not sure. I think we should be accepting of the fact that there's no really clear way out, and there's no real clear path that really solves all of these issues.
True.
Because for all of their problems, these companies do still have a First Amendment protection.
I absolutely agree with you.
These individuals.
Birdcage is allowable. There's no way that you should be able to come down and clamp down on it. I agree. I'm just saying where we're going with all of these things. I'd rather have more speech than less. I think we're better off with more speech, as bad, as stupid as some of it can be. That's okay. That's okay. Actually, we get educated listening to stupid people say wrong things as well, because we learn that they're saying wrong things eventually. I don't know. It seems to me that when you start to pluck things out of somebody's statements, you're going down a bad slippery slope. Your thought?
Yeah, and I think that you're right, and I think that is a really big concern. I personally, I'm hopeful that at least this marketplace of ideas does still push back on some of the actions that Twitter would go towards. That in fact, people responding and saying, "No, I don't like this. I don't like this type of contextual tweet," that sort of thing, and the pushback that you would get by normal people using Twitter, would also be kind of the corrective that we want, right? That there is actually, and we do see this, there is clearly a response by these platforms in trying to deal with what they see as a perceived problem by their consumers. So again, it's not a clean solution, and it doesn't really lend itself easy to like the best of all worlds. I don't really know that there is a best of all worlds, because we're all flawed creatures. But at the end of the day, I'm hopeful that at least pushback by people like myself, talking about it even on the air right now,
right,
this sort of thing gets people thinking about it and gets people jazzed up and saying, hey, I like this or I don't like this. The marketplace kind of does help decide where those sorts of visions are enacted.
I agree with that. And Will, it's always a pleasure to have you. Very interesting discussion.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Oh, yeah, always. And we'll have you on again, God willing. Thanks so much.
Yeah, cheers.
Okay. Will Reinhart, Center for Growth and Opportunity. Going to take our break. When we come back, Andrew, the master barber, we're going to talk with him a little bit about this, I guess you could call it this clampdown on Marjorie Taylor Greene with her committee assignments. She was a big-time Trump supporter.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. By the way, we are here Monday, Tuesday, Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. And if you can't listen live, you can listen to us on podcast. Big Ed puts all our shows right up there on the podcast department. Inside of our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, with the Super Bowl and all these other things that are going on, people forget on Tuesday we have an impeachment trial coming up, and former President Trump is not going to testify in the Senate impeachment trial. Jason Miller, our senior advisor, has confirmed that he will not. There was a request by the so-called impeachment manager, Jamie Raskin, to have Trump show up and testify as part of the... They probably figured if they had Trump over there, he just would step into it somewhere along the way. But his lawyer said, no, he's not going to be there. But they're going to begin all of this craziness on Tuesday. So we got Andrew, the master barber here, Andrew. We've got... first of all, we've got this Marjorie Taylor Greene. She was a big-time Trump supporter. But she was saying things like there was no airplane crash into the Pentagon and I guess a few other things some years back. And now it's kind of come back to haunt her. What do you think of that that congresswoman?
Well, first of all, I think there's double standards right out in front of you. You look at AOC, look at Ilhan Omar, they can say anything, do anything they want. Look at Ocasio Cortez lied where she was. That's okay. She's a Democrat.
Yeah, so, I think you're right.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is Paul, let me tell you something. They are doing nothing in Washington, absolutely nothing, okay, for this country. All they're doing is bickering back and forth to who's going to have power.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that's going on, Paul. Now, people are tired of this, okay? If this happened to Green, though, the Republicans should have some guts to stand up and say, listen, we're not tolerating this either and get rid of Ilhan Omar.
Yeah,
will they? No. You know why, Paul? Because it's what I said. Look at 11 Republicans went against this representative, right?
Yeah, Green.
Now, Paul, opportunity never knocks twice, only once. And I agree with when you say, well, if you were to divide the Republican Party, you know, split the votes. Paul, that was then. Now is the opportunity. The Republican Party is useless. They are part of the Democrat Party, as far as I'm concerned. Okay, they cut each other's throats. Now is the time where people are disgusted, where if you came up with that party, it will destroy the Republican Party. And that's what needs to be done. People will follow the new party because they are disgusted with the Republican Party, Paul. Opportunity only knocks once. Now is the time to take it.
So you're kind of going back to this idea that Trump would possibly head for whatever name you want to call it.
Well, like I said, let it ride right now. Trump's got a little bit of time to decide what's happening, and so do the people. People are seeing what's going on now, and they're totally disgusted, Paul. I haven't heard one person say they're happy with what Biden's doing. Where's the Biden supporters cheering up and down? You know what, Paul? When this is all done and Trump is a little bit quiet, they're not going to have nothing to talk about.
Yeah, that may be true.
The Democrats are killing each other. The Republicans are killing each other. Now is the time for the American people, who are true Americans, to unite.
I've always thought that the Democrats need a boogeyman.
They are the boogeyman.
I know. And they need one that they need to point to and create a boogeyman. They've done that... I think over the years, if you look, they'll take somebody, and they will kind of besmirch them, you know. I mean, before it was before Trump came along, look what they did to Sarah Palin, and look what they've done to some of the Supreme Court nominees. They've made them into villains. They kind of feast off of fear, I think. And that's how they control. I think that's how they control their constituents. You got to have a boogeyman. I mean, once, like you said, once Trump goes away, and Green goes away, don't you think they're going to have to find another boogeyman?
Well, they will. It'll be Biden. That's when they'll get rid of him and try and bring Kamala in.
It could be.
Okay.
Yeah.
But like I say, Paul, I don't hear one Democrat jumping up and down in the streets. Oh, I'm happy what Biden's doing. Look at the 42 executive orders he signed. He don't even know what he signed, and the people don't even know what he signed.
I think you're right, except the far lefties, who I think are very pleased with what he's signing.
No, he don't know what's going on.
Yeah, but
Camilla's just right there says, just signed this. Don't worry about it. That's what my wife does with checks. Same thing.
So Kamala Harris is kind of standing over him. Maybe she's got one of those, what do you call those things where you, a taser. She's got a taser in her hand. You can't see it. And she's going to tase him if he doesn't sign it.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard, hey, did you notice? Oh, did you even hear Charlie Crist now is going to run for governor? He's beautiful.
Is he? Is he?
Oh yeah, they said I was reading this morning where Nikki Fried, they're telling them to all calm down. They want to put Charlie up there. I hope they put Charlie up there. I hope they put Charlie up against Ron.
Yeah,
let me tell you what Ron will do to Charlie Crist.
Yeah,
he will finally meet his match and be destroyed and pushed into the ground where he deserves to be.
Well, it's very interesting. Charlie Crist, for those of you that don't know, it has been our governor. And he's been a Republican, and he's been an independent. Now he's a Democrat. Once he was married, now he's not married. And there's all kinds of things about Charlie Crist. And so he wants to run again for governor. I wonder what party he will run. Maybe he'll run on the Patriot Party. I never thought of that.
No, he'll probably run on the transgendered party. Because that's coming up now, too. Because, you know, we got the transgendered in the sports.
Yes.
I wonder if all these women that got daughters now that are in track or in this, and they are happy with what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because the biological men are going to destroy their daughters. They're not going to have a chance for scholarships or nothing.
No, I think you're making a good point. In fact, they've been trying to confront Biden on this because he's all for the transgender approach, supposedly. But when it comes to, you know, going on a girls' basketball team or the swimming team or the weightlifting team or the whatever, the track team, there's no way that women can compete with a guy that's changed his gender. There's no way. I mean, it's just so stupid. So
Paul,
I think it's
everything they are doing is stupid, Paul. I normally never listen to things, but I want to hear somebody that has a radio show or something, give me a list of things that they're happy about that Biden is doing, other than, well, he's getting rid of what Trump wanted. Well, you know, that's really stupid because Trump was for this country and the country was doing great, Paul.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard today on the news, the employment is going up after this COVID. There might be 150,000 new jobs in it. What the hell is 150,000 new jobs, Paul, to 330 million people?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, somebody to tell me, what good is he doing?
Well,
the borders, let 80,000 immigrants in?
The numbers are still reflecting the Trump era, though, because this is just...
it hasn't hit yet.
I don't think Biden's numbers... But you know what? I think they will go. I think they will go negative. I think Biden's... agenda is such, it's not going to improve our economy, the things he wants. You know, raising the minimum wage during a pandemic when businesses are doing all they can to stay open, what kind of thoughtlessness? First of all, there shouldn't be a federal minimum wage. That's nonsense to begin with.
You heard what the White House wanted to do to Florida, didn't you? The White House told Ron DeSantis that they wanted him to shut down the restaurants, the bars, and the gyms in Florida. You know that, right?
I know they would like him to...
No, they asked him.
Yeah, they specifically asked him. Okay,
you know what he told them, don't you?
probably something about you can take it and place it in a certain location where you usually don't get a lot of sunlight.
Exactly. You know, Paul, I come up with a conclusion. When we were growing up, I remember Eisenhower, vaguely, you know, my parents talking about him. He was a war hero in the military.
Oh, yes.
Then John Kennedy came in.
Mm-hmm.
And John Kennedy, let's face it, he was a hero.
He was. PT-109.
Another military man, okay?
Yes.
Then you had George Bush Sr.
Oh, big time hero.
Another war hero, a pilot, okay?
Yes, indeed.
A B-17 bomber pilot, or 29, one of the two.
Yep.
All right? Then all of a sudden you had, you know what you have running this country today, Paul? You got Woodstock running it.
You got
Woodstock running
it.
You got every draft dodger and everybody that tried... It was against the war. It was against everything that was going on. The hippies. They got the hippies running this country, Paul.
You got, actually, in many cases, you have the children of the hippies that are running the country.
Well,
the Ocasio-Cortez.
There's children in there, too, but they're category than I consider the hippies.
Yeah.
Because I look at Ilhan Omar and Rashid Tlaib. I don't have to say no more. Okay, it's a different category of people. There is nobody, as far as I'm concerned, there aren't too many patriotic people in this government that we have running right now. Matter of fact, I was just listening on the news that Matt Gaetz wanted to bring the Pledge of Allegiance back into Congress.
He's a Republican Florida congressman. He would like it brought in before every committee hearing rather than just at the beginning of the day in the Congress. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. And what did they tell him? Forget about it.
Forget about it, yeah.
All right, what does that tell you, Paul? Let me tell you something. If what I say it doesn't happen, the Republican Party, the Democrat Party are one. Period. Anybody who thinks otherwise is a fool. But the writing is right in front of you. Look at Liz Cheney. He should have thrown her to the side of the road.
Well, in many...
Did they? No.
No, they didn't. Not in the overall Congress.
You got Mitch
McConnell. She got censured by her Wyoming constituents, though. Go ahead.
Well, a couple people had some. You got McConnell. Look at him. He's nothing but a wimp. Well, these guys never... I don't even think they ever got in a mud fight when they were young. They have no cayunes whatsoever. We need people that have strength and have backbone running this country.
I got news
for you. They're worried about who's taking power. I'll tell you who's taking power is China and Russia. That's who's taking power, not our Congress.
Do you think we'll get our backbone back? In other words, after going through, say, what's going through with Biden, the Biden era, do you think that maybe we will turn around and actually get some fiber back in our backbone?
Well, Paul, I'm actually thinking of running as a Democrat.
Are you?
This way I can get in and infiltrate them like they infiltrate the Republican Party.
Yeah, that could be
That's the only thing I see to do. I can sit there and say I want to give everything away. I get up there and tell them a line they never believe. I get elected as a Democrat, man. I infiltrate them. The party'd be over with.
Well, I tell you what, if you offer to give things away, you're going to get a lot of Democratic votes.
I'm going to give everything away.
Yeah, that's what they live off of, right?
I'm going to give away your radio station over there if somebody wants. We'll give it all away. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah, they can just kind of infiltrate. Come on in. Sit around. Oh, my goodness.
Well, the American people should be ashamed of what is going on today with our government. You got 534 morons ruling 330 million people.
Well, we then have to vote these people out, do we not?
Well, voting them out, now, I hate to say the word fight because Trump got in trouble for that, you know? I mean, if I say we need to fight for this, the police might be at my door here.
Yeah, and they shouldn't be. You have every right to say fight. You want to fight for what's right. You want to protest for what's right. You absolutely want to demonstrate for what's right, and you do. You're not the kind that would throw a brick through somebody's car. You're the kind of person that would stand there and proudly display your emotions and your feelings. And that's what our country's all about.
The American people are going to see more and more every day. Like I said, I want one of these fellow good Democrats to write me a list of everything they're proud that Joe Biden is doing besides sleeping behind his desk and having Camilla tell him what to sign.
I
think you're going to find out that I'm right in time, Paul, and I think you're going to find out that I'm right about getting rid of this Republican Party. We need to divide the Republican and the Democrat Party, and by the only way we're going to do that is by getting rid of one of them. You aren't going to get rid of the Democrat Party because they stick together like glue. The Republican Party, the people that are Republicans, are fed up with them.
Gotcha.
The time is now to make the move.
Andrew,
opportunity only knocks once, my friend. Remember that.
I know. Andrew, it is always a pleasure, and you always have some really interesting and energetic ideas to make our country proud again. Thank you so much for calling, and we'll talk again on Monday.
You got it, buddy. Have a good weekend. Go Bucks.
Go Bucks. All right. Thanks, Andrew. There he goes. The master barber himself. He won't watch the game, Ed. I don't think he will. He'll be involved in something else. But we're going to take our break. When we come back, among other things, I'm going to tell you about a simulation game that has predicted the Super Bowl and which team it predicts will win.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest-running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back. And as we've been saying, this is Super Bowl Friday, which means Sunday, we have ourselves a football game. And it's going to be between, of course, the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and it's right here in Tampa. Well, you know, there's always these computer things that I'm sure they're running them right now as I speak that will tell you who's going to win this particular game. Well, I don't know, Ed, have you heard about the Super Bowl EA Sports Madden NFL simulation that they do?
Yeah, it came out a couple of years ago, yeah, I think.
They did. It does. So they ran a simulation of the game this year. And what do you think they found as to who? Well, let me just tell you. They predict the Kansas City Chiefs are going to win the game 37-27. Mahomes gets the go-ahead touchdown on a 12-yard fourth-quarter scramble to put KC on top 34-27. He will take home the MVP award. In this simulation, he will have thrown for 422 yards and four touchdowns, while Brady will have thrown for 322 yards, three touchdowns, and one interception. So now you don't have to watch the game, Ed. You can go back and do some of the other things you like to do.
Sure.
So what do you think? Now, last year they were on the money, apparently. But the year before, they weren't. Let's see. What did they say about that? Okay. It says if the Chiefs were to win, like they predict, it would be the second consecutive year in which Madden's prediction was correct, as last year's simulation had the Chiefs topping the 49ers. However, prior to that year, the Madden simulation got two consecutive Super Bowls wrong. They said New England would beat the Philadelphia Eagles. They did not. And they said the Rams would beat the New England Patriots the year before. They did not. So there you go.
So they've been wrong more than they've been right.
Yeah, well, I guess
that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Yeah. They're going to be wrong again this year.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. This brings me to asking you, not only who's going to win the game, Ed, I got to write it down. I want to know the score of the game, the Super Bowl game. So go ahead, tell me.
35, Buccaneers 35. And the Chiefs, 24.
Wow. An 11-point win. That's pretty good. That's pretty. Now, you're going against Las Vegas. Las Vegas has got the Chiefs by three.
Nah.
But you feel what's going to happen in the game, Ed? Is Mahomes going to be shut down by the defense to some extent?
I think
what?
He's going to have some problems. I think that because of his toe, still going to be a factor. He says it's not a factor, but once he gets out there and starts running on it, a turf toe takes a long time to heal, not just a couple of weeks.
True.
So they're going to be chasing him all over. And I still don't think the Bucs' offense, as good as it is, I've got a little button here. I just hit the button.
See, now here's the deal. I got a chair that the back, no matter what I try to do, will fall off. Well, will go backwards on it. It's almost falling off the chair. Go ahead.
So I think that if the Bucs come out, play like they should, because the offense still hasn't peaked yet. I think they come out and they score first and keep ahead of the Chiefs the whole game. That's it.
All right. 35-24. Very good. All right, Ed. We're going to stay on the Super Bowl topic with our top 10. I went out and figured out the top 10 states with the most Super Bowl games. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you right now, because I know you know, you think you know. I want you to tell me who's the first and second and in which order when we get to it. Okay? How about that? Right. So here we go. Top 10 states with the most Super Bowl games. Number 10. Well, actually, this takes in, I think, all of the states. The number 10 is New Jersey.
Okay.
They have had one Super Bowl.
Okay.
And it was in East Rutherford, New Jersey.
Well, they got a new stadium, so they got a Super Bowl.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's true. All right. Number 9. Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
They also only had one Super Bowl.
Okay.
In Indianapolis.
Okay.
That's a dome stadium there, I believe. Number 8. Minnesota has had two.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they have. Both of them in Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that stadium, is that stadium still standing for both of them, do you know?
Well, they used to have the Metrodome with the puffy roof on it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
That's gone.
Okay.
Yeah, they got a new one.
Number 7. Michigan. Both in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Dome Stadium. They've had two.
Mm.
Okay. Number 6. Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia's had three.
Okay.
And all of them are in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 5. Arizona.
Okay.
Now, Arizona's had three as well. Two of them are in Glendale, and one was in Tempe,
right.
Arizona. Okay. Number 4. Texas. They've had four Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Three of them were in Houston, and one was in Arlington.
Mm.
Okay. All right. Number 3. Louisiana. They've had 10.
All in the Superdome.
All in the mm-hmm. Superdome. 10 mm-hmm. Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
So we jump from Texas with 4 to Louisiana with 10.
Right.
Okay. So, Ed, there are two left. There are two left. I want you to tell me who's number 2 and then
Florida.
Number 1. And then how many Super Bowls each have had.
Oh, I don't know. Florida, and then I'm going to go with California.
Okay. So is California number 2 or number 1?
1.
California's number 1. Okay. And Florida is number 2. Right?
Yes.
All
yes.
right. Roll the drum for number 2. You're wrong.
Well, it's flipped.
California's had 12
okay.
Super Bowls.
Okay.
LA's had 5. Pasadena's had 3.
Right.
San Diego has had 2.
Mm-hmm.
There's been some, I think, over in Palo Alto or Stanford or whatever. Okay. They've had 12 Super Bowls.
Okay.
All right. So roll the drum for number 1.
So number 1, you have Miami, which had the most. Tampa, which had 4. 5.
They're going to have 5.
This will be 5.
Yes.
And then Jacksonville had 1.
Exactly right. 17 Super Bowls.
All right.
They have had 17
okay.
to California's 12. And you are exactly right. Miami had 11. Tampa will have had 5 after Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And Jacksonville will have had 1. But you think that this should be, what's the word you use? Because it's not going to have a full crowd. And
I think we should be given a mulligan.
A mulligan.
Yeah.
Well, I think you have a point to that. Do you think the Super Bowl committee will take that into consideration?
I would hope so if they give us one within 5 years, because with all the new stadiums opening up, we're going to be in at least a 10-year rotation. I don't think we should have to wait 10 years. I think we should wait 5.
Okay.
We improved a lot of roads for the Super Bowl. A lot of things. The airport was expanded, everything.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, anyway, let's enjoy the Super Bowl, no matter who wins. I hope everybody enjoys it. Stay safe. We will be back Monday. Remember, freedom works.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM.